afraid of the dark? Just relax and let the darkness fall over you.
Welcome to Afraidish, a podcast where we take a deep dive into the history and paranormal while enjoying some tasty adult beverages. From ghost sightings to hauntings, urban legends and cryptids, let's get weird and afraid-ish together. Welcome to episode 34, the fifth of our Halloween series.
Woo woo!
Yeah. How have we been?
Fucking tired.
Yeah. It's been a long month.
Yeah.
Tis the season where every day at work is a heavy day.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Yeah. You guys got hit with smart markets and yellow books today.
We don't take ours out.
Or yellow pages.
Until next week. Because they're technically not. We're not supposed to deliver them until the last Tuesday or Wednesday of the month. But some people get them on Saturday, so.
Okay.
Which is convenient. So we don't have to deliver them on Monday or whatnot. But we did have yellow pages, which who the hell gets phone books these days?
I genuinely cannot remember the last time we got a phone book.
It's insane. I literally delivered almost 700, at least 700, maybe 600 of those phone books today.
Are they as thick as they used to be? No, I don't think so.
They're just yellow pages, basically all businesses.
Okay.
So, basically yellow pages.
Okay.
They don't do white pages anymore, I guess.
Good.
Yeah. Anyways, so this is the fifth out of... What, seven?
Six, seven?
Yeah, because this week and then you do next week.
And then you're doing a one on Halloween. Yeah.
Halloween special. I am so happy that we have actually got these out on time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I like it. And I hope everybody likes these episodes. It's a lot of work, but a lot of fun too, yeah. I think.
I'm glad you think so.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into this one.
Alrighty. What are you drinking, by the way?
Oh, I'm drinking a Tropical Cold Punch Beatbox, which is... I already have had a half of one.
Yeah.
Drink the rest of one from last time.
So. And I'm drinking a homemade margarita.
Nice.
It's basically lemon limeade that I made.
Kind of like last time?
Yeah, and the tequila añejo.
Añejo, yeah. I said it wrong last time.
Años?
Años. Well, I think I cut that part out of the episode.
Hmm.
Yeah, I said años instead of añejo.
And I was... I didn't catch it to correct it.
Anyways, so that tequila is really good, but very, like...
Tequila-y.
Well, I was gonna say, like whiskey strong, like it burns like whiskey.
Yeah,
like you said, yeah.
Yeah, it burns like whiskey going down.
I think
it's the aging process.
Yeah, it's really good though. Here are five fun facts about urban legends.
Ooh.
Yeah. Five fun facts. Number one, urban legends are a form of contemporary folklore reflecting the fears, anxieties, and social concerns of a popular culture or community. They often contain a cautionary or moral elements.
Okay.
Number two.
Were you waiting at me to respond?
Number two, urban legends can adapt to fit different contexts, locations, or technologies. For example, an urban legend may evolve from a haunted house story to a haunted website or app story as technology advances.
Yes.
It's pretty cool. I know there were several whenever the internet got really started back in the 90s.
Well, you remember email chat? Forward this to seven people or you'll die.
Yeah. That was ridiculous. I still donate to princes, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number three, legend tripping refers to the act of visiting locations associated with urban legends.
Urban legends?
Yep. Or other folklore to experience the thrill or confirm the story's authenticity.
Yeah.
This practice is popular among thrill seekers and folklore enthusiasts.
It's also usually illegal because a lot of these places are private property. Yeah.
And sometimes dangerous.
So don't go trespassing. No. Get trespassing. Get permission if you can. Or just don't go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Number four, scholars study urban legends as a form of folklore and cultural expression. Folklorists analyze their themes, transmission, and impact on society to better understand human behavior and beliefs.
Yes, there is a podcast that I don't listen to so much anymore for literally no reason. But one of the hosts is basically a folklorist. It's the New World Witchery podcast. You remember when I used to listen to that podcast a lot?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, one of the hosts is a... That's what he does for... Like, he studies folklore and...
That's cool.
There's a word for it. I can't pick it out of my brain at this exact moment. And it's going to drive me crazy.
I don't know.
Something anyway. I don't know, but like memes are basically a form of like modern folklore.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's what's going on. It's what's hot in the culture at the time.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I want to start listening to the podcast Lore, because they made it into a series on TV.
They made a podcast into a series?
I think so, yeah. Well, based on the podcast, yeah.
Wow.
It's called Lore. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. Number five. Urban legends have inspired numerous movies, TV shows, books, and games. Filmmakers often use these legends as the basis for horror and thriller narratives, further perpetuating their influence and spreading. Just like one of my favorite franchises, Urban Legend, Urban Legends Final Cut, and Urban Legends Bloody Mary. The first two are really good, I think.
I've literally never heard of this before.
Yeah, it's like back in the day whenever like yeah, he's crazy. Or she's crazy. Anyways, back in the early aughts when the teenage movies came out. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what a teen movie is.
Well, these are basically like that, but like...
Like Final Destination type Scream.
Yeah, but this is basically based on urban legends.
Okay.
Where there's like a killer and they... You know, come after people, but like an urban legend type.
Okay. Like the one where the babysitter, the phone call's coming from inside the house.
Yeah, kind of, but it's really good. You'd have to watch it. I like it. And I've still yet to see the third one, which was made in like 2007.
Okay. So we're talking early noughties.
Oh, yeah. Early.
Okay.
For this episode, listener discretion is advised. Some of these stories contain human and animal death and some really creepy shit.
Okay, then. Is that not a disclaimer that should be in front of every episode of this podcast? Or are these, like, really bad?
These are a little bit worse than what I tell, usually.
Okay. So. Cool.
Yeah, but it's probably not as worse as I make it to be.
As like, worse as bad as.
As bad.
What is his deal?
He's probably got dry skin and he's trying to itch his ear.
I thought he was trying to bite his foot.
He's trying to itch his ear. Oh. Anyways. Now, friends, grab an adult beverage, relax, and listen to some spooky urban legends that may or may not give you nightmares. In a quiet, isolated house in a rural area, lived a woman who owned a loyal and protective dog. Jenny lived alone and cherished the companionship of her faithful canine friend, Jack. One night, while Jenny was preparing for bed, she heard strange and unsettling noises coming from outside her bedroom window. These eerie sounds were enough to give anyone chills. She tried to ignore them, attributing them to the usual nighttime noises of the countryside. As she was getting ready to sleep, she reached down from her bed to let her hand hang off the side of the mattress. Jack, who usually slept beside her, would often lick her hand reassuringly before they both drifted off to sleep. This night was no different, and Jenny dangled her hand over the edge of the bed. She felt her loyal dog's warm, wet tongue licking her hand comfortingly, just as it always did. This simple gesture always made her feel safe and secure. Jenny eventually fell asleep, feeling protected by her loyal companion. In the morning, she awoke to find her dog's collar hanging from a hook on the bedroom door. Confused and distressed, she got out of bed and went to investigate. As she opened the bathroom door, she was met with a horrifying sight. Jack was hanging from the showerhead, his blood dripping down the drain. Jenny screamed and cried as she turned around. She faced the bathroom mirror. On the mirror, written in Jack's blood, was a message that read, "Humans can lick too." The chilling realization struck her like a bolt of lightning. The comforting licks that had licked her hand during the night had not belonged to her loyal dog, but to an intruder who had been hiding in her home. The story serves as a cautionary tale about the importance of being cautious, especially when we assume the safety of familiar routines. It taps into the fear of the unknown and the vulnerability of being alone at night, making it a classic and unsettling urban legend.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah, that's gross. No, I don't like that.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Next story, please.
In a small village in Mexico, there lived a beautiful woman named Maria. Maria was known throughout the village for her stunning looks and enchanting beauty. She caught the eye of a wealthy and a handsome young man, and they fell deeply in love. The couple got married and had two children. However, as time passed, the young man began to lose interest in Maria. He started to neglect her and spend more time away from home. Maria grew increasingly desperate for his love and attention, feeling lonely and isolated in her own home. One fateful day, while walking by the river with her two children, Maria saw her husband with another woman. Consumed by jealousy and rage, she couldn't bear the betrayal. In a fit of madness and despair, she took her children to the river and drowned them in a fit of insanity, hoping that by doing so, she could win back her husband's love. But it was too late. Realizing the horror of what she had done, Maria was devastated. She wandered into the riverbanks, crying and screaming for her lost children. Days turned into nights, and she refused to eat or sleep, consumed by her grief and guilt. Eventually, she died from her sorrow, but her restless spirit wandered the earth, searching for her lost children. According to the legend, La Llorona can still be heard at night, weeping for her children and lamenting her actions. It is believed that encountering La Llorona is a sign of misfortune, and she may even try to abduct wandering children, mistaking them for her own. To this day, the legend of the La Llorona serves as cautionary tale warning children not to go out at night near rivers or disobey their parents for fear of encountering La Llorona and suffering a fate similar to hers.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. These stories are pretty wild.
Yeah.
One night, John was driving alone in a deserted road. It was dark and the weather was eerie, with a thick fog rolling in. As he drove, he noticed a young woman standing by the side of the road, her thumb outstretched, hitchhiking. Feeling sympathetic and wanting to help, he pulled over to offer her a ride. The young woman climbed into the car, politely introduced herself. She mentions that she needed to get to a specific destination, so they engaged in conversation as they drove. As they chatted, John noticed that she seemed quite distant and melancholic. He tried to make small talk to lighten the mood, but she remained somewhat reserved. After a while, they arrived at the designated location. The young woman thanked John and got out of the car, leaving something behind in the back seat. He noticed it was a jacket and called after her, but she had disappeared into the fog. Thinking she had accidentally left her jacket, he picked it up and headed to the address she had provided. When he arrived, an older woman greeted him. He showed her the jacket and explained what had happened. The older woman's face turned pale as she recognized the jacket, but she informed John that the young woman he had picked up was her daughter, who had passed away in a car accident that very spot years ago. Shaken and confused, John realized he had encountered a ghostly hitchhiker. The jacket was a keepsake from her mother, left in the car as a token of her presence. John then understood that he had given a ride to a ghost. The vanishing hitchhiker serves as a cautionary tale about picking up strangers and the potential consequences of doing so, as well as a reminder of the mysterious and unexplained events that occur on a dark and isolated road.
Mm-hmm. This story must have begun around the 70s when hitchhiking was more common, 70s, 80s.
Yeah, all these stories that I'm telling, it has has a lot of different tells, like different ways to tell the tell it. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Variations.
Different variations, I was trying to say. A group of teenagers are driving down a dark country road when they see a man standing in the middle of the road, waving his arms. They pull over to see what's wrong, and the man tells them that his car is broken down and he needs help. The teenagers agree to help him, and they follow him to a nearby abandoned farmhouse. When they arrive at the farmhouse, the man leads them inside and asks them to wait in the living room while he goes to get some tools. That's never a good sign.
Nope.
The teenagers wait for a while, but the man doesn't come back. They start to get worried, so they decide to look for him. They search the entire house, but they can't find the man anywhere. Then they hear a noise coming from the basement. They slowly go down the stairs, and they find the man standing in the corner of the basement, holding a hook in his hand. The teenagers scream and run back upstairs, but the man is right behind them. He chases them through the house, and he eventually catches one of the teenagers. He kills the teenager with a hook, and then he chases the rest of the teenagers out of the house. The teenagers run to their car and drive away, but they can see the man standing in the front yard waving his hook at them. They drive away as fast as they can, and they never look back. The Hook Man is a cautionary tale about the dangers of being a stranger in a strange place. It's also a reminder that there are people in the world who are capable of great evil.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there is no evidence that the Hook Man is real. It's just a story, but that doesn't stop it from being scary. So,
yep. Never follow a stranger.
No.
Home.
Especially when they say they need to go look for some tools.
Well, in the context of the story, that would make sense.
Yeah.
But still... No.
All right, the next one. A young couple, John and Mary, were driving through a remote area one night when they came across a sign that said, Tunnel of Love. They were curious, so they decided to drive through.
Gross.
As they drove through the tunnel, the trees on either side of the road grew closer and closer together until they formed a dense canopy overhead. The tunnel was so dark that John could barely see the road ahead of him. Mary was scared, so she grabbed John's hand and held it tightly. John reassured her that everything would be okay, but he was also starting to feel uneasy. As they drove deeper into the tunnel, John started to hear strange noises. He heard whispers and laughter, and he felt like he was being watched. Mary started to cry. She told John that she wanted to turn around, but he said that it was too late. Finally, they reached the end of the tunnel. John and Mary were relieved, but the relief was short-lived. As they drove out of the tunnel, they saw a figure standing in the middle of the road. The figure was tall and thin, and it was wearing a white dress. John slammed on the brakes, but it was too late. They hit the figure, and it disappeared. John and Mary were terrified. They didn't know what they had just seen, but they knew it was something evil. They drove away as fast as they could, and they never looked back. The next day, John and Mary went back to the tunnel, but they couldn't find it. It was as if it had never existed. John and Mary never saw the figure again, but they never forgot it. They also never forgot the tunnel of love. To this day, it is said that couples who drive through the tunnel of love and kiss will either get married within a year or break up. The tunnel of love urban legend is a reminder that dangers of premarital sex, and it is a reminder that some things in the world are best left unexplained. Most of these stories are about like in the like 70s and maybe 60s of like premarital sex, mm-hmm. and don't walk alone and all that stuff.
Which, I mean, some of them, yeah, are pretty.
Yeah, the hitchhiker story is like definitely.
Almost common sense, yeah. But at the same time, like I can understand if you come from a world like Leave It to Beaver, that world doesn't exist. It's like people that don't lock their doors.
Oh, that.
Or people that live in the country. And not only do they not lock their cars, but they leave their keys in their cars.
Yeah, that's.
Do you know people like do that?
No.
So apparently, that's just commonplace in the country. Why car thieves don't just drive out to the. You're guaranteed to find a car.
Yeah.
With the keys in the ignition, unlocked. At least not in the ignition, but in the car. I had a friend in high school whose car got stolen out of her parents' driveway because she left the keys in the car and the car unlocked 24/7.
No.
And
I always lock my truck. Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't live out in the country either.
That's true. Still, even I'm just if saying. I did.
No, there's like this whole contingent of people that's like they're just obstinately like stuck in 1945 where they think that they live in some utopia where they don't have to secure their property. And it's like, if you don't lock your car and leave the keys in the car, you're kind of just begging for it to get stolen.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. That's a big nope.
Yep. But anyway. All that to say, I understand how urban legends get their start. People telling stories to their daughters and their sons of like, this is why you shouldn't do these things, whatever this thing is that I don't want you to do. Because I had a friend who had a friend who had a cousin whose brother picked up a hitchhiker and got a fish hook through the eye.
And, like, the older urban legends turn into, like, more contemporary or, like, modernized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they evolve with the culture.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. All right, the last one. The year is 2023. The city is Tokyo. And the legend of Kuchisaki Yana is still alive. One night, a young woman named Sakura was walking home from work alone. She was tired and eager to get home to her bed, but as she turned the corner, she saw a figure standing in the middle of a street. The figure was a woman dressed in a white kimono. She was wearing a mask, but Sakura could see that her eyes were wide and terrified. "Hello," the woman said. "Are you alone?" Sakura hesitated. She didn't know this woman, but she seemed scared. "Yes," she said, "I am." The woman smiled. "Am I beautiful?" she asked. Sakura froze. She knew the legend of Kuchisaki Yana. She knew that if she answered yes, the woman would kill her. If she answered no, the woman would also kill her. Sakura took a deep breath. "You're average," she said. The woman's smile faded. She reached up and slowly removed her mask. Sakura gasped in horror. The woman's mouth was slit from ear to ear, forming a grotesquely large smile. You're wrong, the woman said. I'm beautiful. She raised her hand and lunged at Sakura. Sakura screamed and backed away, but it was too late. The woman grabbed her by the throat and squeezed. Sakura struggled to breathe. She could see the woman's sharp teeth getting closer and closer to her neck. Just as the woman was about to bite down, a voice rang out from behind her. Leave her alone! The woman turned and saw a young man standing there. He was holding a baseball bat. The woman released Sakura and snarled at the man. Who are you? She asked. I'm her friend, the man said, and I'm not going to let you hurt her. The woman laughed. You think you could stop me? She asked. I'm Kucha Sakiyana. I'm unstoppable. The man raised his baseball bat. We'll see about that, he said. The man and the woman charged at each other. The woman swung her claws, and the man dodged them and swung his bat. The bat hit the woman in the head, and she staggered backward. That's for hurting my friend, the man said. He swung his bat again, and this time the woman fell to the ground. She didn't move. The man turned to Sakura. Are you okay? He asked. Sakura nodded. Thank you, she said. You saved my life. The man smiled. No problem, he said. That's what friends are for. Sakura and the man walked away, leaving Kucha Sakiyana lying on the ground. As she walked away, Sakura couldn't help but think about what had happened. She had come face to face with Kucha Sakiyana, and she had survived. But she knew that the legend was real, and she knew that Kucha Sakiyana would be back. Kucha Sakiyana, the slit-mouthed woman, is a malevolent figure in Japanese urban legends and folklore. She is described as a malicious spirit or anryo, a woman who was mutilated during her life, with her mouth being slit from ear to ear. In some versions of the story, Kucha Sakiyana was the adulterous wife of a samurai during her life. She grew lonely because the samurai was always away home fighting and began
away from home.
Huh?
You said away home.
Away from home. I thought I said that. Anyways, she began having affairs with men around the town. When the samurai heard of this, he was outraged. As punishment for her infidelity, her husband sliced the corners of her mouth from ear to ear. Then he asked, "Who will think you're beautiful now?" After her death, Kucha Sakiyana became a vengeful spirit. She wanders the streets at night, wearing a surgical mask or other covering to hide her mutilated face. When she encounters a victim, she asks them if they think she is beautiful. If they say yes, she reveals her true face and asks them again. If they say no, she kills them with her scissors or other sharp object. If they say yes again, she slits their mouth from ear to ear, just like she was mutilated. There are many variations of the Kucha Sakiyana legend, but all of them share some common elements. She is typically described as a young, beautiful woman with long black hair and pale skin. She often wears a white kimono or other traditional Japanese clothing. She is also often depicted as carrying a pair of scissors or other sharp object. There are several survival tactics to avoid being killed by Kucha Sakiyana, including replying to her question by describing her appearance as average, giving the individual enough time to run away, distracting her by giving or throwing money or hard candies, or saying the word pomade 3 times. I don't know why you would say pomade, but
like the hair care product, yeah. Pomade?
Yep. I'd have to look into that more, but
I wonder if that means something else in Japanese, or if...
I'm not sure. The Kucha Sakiyana legend is a scary one, but it is important to remember that it is just a legend. The legend is a reminder of the importance of being safe and aware of your surroundings, especially when walking alone at night. Urban legends continue to evolve and adapt, reflecting the changing fears and beliefs of contemporary society. They're a testament to human storytelling and our fascination with the mysterious and unknown. And that is the episode.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't have led with that first one.
Sorry.
I'm not kidding. That literally ruined my night.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I didn't
want to hear anything after that. I just wanted the episode to be over.
Sorry.
It's fine.
Should I have ended with that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it literally ruined my entire mood the rest of the night. Can you tell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It's fine.
Well, hopefully everybody liked it. I was off tonight a little bit.
It's fine. So was I.
Yeah. I don't feel like recording this. So fine. Hopefully everybody liked it. We're going to go ahead and end this because it's pretty late.
Yep.
If you have any stories or requests of anything you want to hear about or know anyone who does, please email me at afraidishpodcast@gmail.com. Email me anything. Say hi. Say what your fears are. Tell me what you want to hear next. I don't care.
We do care.
I do care. Yeah. Instagram and Facebook. Tell me what haunted locations you want to hear about or paranormal thing, because I like to know. I've got maybe one story lined up after the
Halloween
holiday. All the links will be in the show notes. I have this on YouTube as audio, but not video. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and almost anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, rate and review on Apple Podcasts and rate on Spotify. 5 stars, please. You can now support this show with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. This will help with updating recording equipment and other necessities for the podcast. And hopefully I'll get around to Patreon eventually. The link for that will be in the show notes. And I'm still working on the merch store. I haven't had time lately. Hopefully you have some shirts and other stuff.
Yeah.
Exploring the unknown and mysterious is always interesting, just like trying a new flavor of an adult beverage. Like a cryptid, the taste may be unfamiliar initially, but discovering something unique and exciting makes it worth the adventure. Until next time, don't be afraid of the dark.
Be afraid-ish of what's in it.
Bye.
Bye. Yep. Never follow a stranger.
No.
Home.